The College Baseball Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. SGPN is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off your Shady Rays using promo code SGPN and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500. We're also brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. All right, already, welcome back to a brand new episode of the College Baseball Experience. And let's get right into it. The thumbnail on the YouTube for the College Baseball Experience is a weekend review thumbnail. I was under the weather, still kind of am. But we have a special edition. It's the first ever time this season where we had odds fully the night before the game, where I could handicap every game, and it feels like postseason. I'm wearing my school's hat. They actually just got eliminated in the regional final on Wednesday night, but I have the postseason baseball juice flowing, and this is going to be the format that we use throughout the postseason. I will be going live in the middle of the night after I've handicapped every game, talking about the tournament formats, each tournament's game, handicapping them, giving up betting picks in on all of these games, and then even through the NCAA tournament. So conference tournaments every day, NCAA tournament every day. Every day there's a game, I will be live. I am your host, Noah Bienick. You can follow me on Twitter at 77NB. And yes, the subtitle on the YouTube screen previewing every college baseball game with betting odds for May 18th. We have 28 games on the slate, and I have a handicap for every single one of them. So let's not waste any time, even though earlier on in the week, I planned on doing an episode recapping the weekend. I did bracketology. I grabbed a couple of futures that I was going to do some analysis on, but we have 28 games to dive into, and I cannot wait because, like I mentioned, postseason baseball juices are flowing inside my veins right now. So game number one on Thursday that we have betting odds for, 5 o'clock Eastern, -215 Campbell at USC Upstate +175. The Campbells own a 2-game lead over the Spartans in the Big South for the regular season championship. Just one win for Campbell would clinch their 5th straight conference title before they join the Colonial in the 2024 season. Campbell is a whopping 12-0 in the first game of the weekend so far this season, and that's a big reason why I've parlayed them many times throughout the year. Upstate, they're 10-3 in game ones this year, and that's also really good behind Reese Dutton. He's going to get the ball here for the Spartans. He's 9-3 on the year with a 3.32 ERA, 87 strikeouts, 24 walks, and 78.2 innings pitched. Cade Cooler will start for the Camels, and he's 7-0 on the year with a 3.21 ERA, 76 strikeouts, 19 walks, and 56 innings pitched. I'm picking Campbell in this game. I'm not betting it, though, because you're not going to bet it at -215. You're either going to put it in a parlay or not. But Dutton and Upstate are for real, and I feel like this price on Campbell is what we've seen them for most of the season, and it's just not worth it here on Friday. If Dutton deals, I think Upstate's live on Thursday. I just don't see it against the top five offense in the country. So I think Campbell's going to win it, but I don't think -215 is worthy to put it into a parlay. The second game on the slate at 5:30 Eastern is Notre Dame, who's -105 at Boston College, who's -125. The Eagles are on the fringe of hosting, and the Fighting Irish, yeah, they're on the bubble for the NCAA tournament right now. It would be awesome if BC could find a way to host, because according to their series write-up, it would be the first time a Northeastern team hosts a regional since Maine in 1991. Notre Dame this season is 10-13 on the road. Boston College 11-7 at home. Notre Dame 8-5 in game ones, and BC just 5-8. And that's mainly because their game one starter, Henry Leak, has a 6.66 ERA in 10 starts this season. Aiden Tyrell for Notre Dame is 7-2 with a 3.47 ERA, 51 strikeouts, 23 walks, and 59.2 innings pitched. So I like this -105 price on Notre Dame, their team fighting for their postseason lives. So give me -105 for the Fighting Irish here. The next game on our slate is at 6 o'clock. We have Marshall at +340, traveling to Coastal Carolina -450 on the money line. for these two games, for these games with wild odds, I'm not going to go too in depth on them because you're not going to bet the favorite straight up. It's either a parlay piece or a pizza bet on the underdog or just a plain old pass. This minus 450 price is usable for a parlay piece because Marshall's game one starter is Patrick Copen. He's 2-8 on the year with a 5.81 ERA. And Coastal, they have been one of the best offenses in the country so far this year. I expect them to pounce early and often on Copen. So that's going to be a parlay piece. We'll get to that at the end of the year. At the end of the podcast, where we're going to review my entire betting card. You guys can copy whatever. I'm going to tell you how many units I'm putting on it, and we're going to track it throughout the tournament, conference tournaments and NCAA tournament when those begin. Because honestly, half the time when we give out bets on this one, I don't tell you guys how to bet it and how to use your units. You can choose whatever you want to do. But I think it's baseball. It's a money line betting sport. You got to use units to be able to track your performance. And speaking of tracking performance, you might want to do it with this new sponsor that we've picked up. It's Edge Boost. SGPN is excited to announce an exclusive early access partnership with Edge Boost, the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Similar to buy now, pay later programs like Affirm and Afterpay, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over four equal weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. Simply deposit the funds into your account and Edge Boost will match the deposit so you can double the funds on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances as you build a repayment history. My Edge Boost double down play of the day is, well, we're going to talk about them at the end of the day with the card at the end of the show. With this special offer, the first 500 SGPN users will start at a $1,000 advance limit, and the next 2,500 users will start at $500. So go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. You must be 21 years old or older to use this. Only valid in legal gambling states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Back to the college baseball games. We have got to flip the page. 6 o'clock start time for Virginia Tech. They're plus 170 on the money line, visiting Wake Forest minus 210. Both teams' game write-ups didn't include a projecting starting pitcher, so that leaves me to do it and project it, predict it. That's what we're going to have to do a lot during the tournament. But oftentimes you can find some advantages and where there's mispriced teams in some of these games, and that's where you're really making your money throughout the postseason. So I think it's pretty easy for me here with Wake Forest. I think we see Rhett Lauder, who's 11-0 on the year with a 1.41 ERA, 96 strikeouts, 16 walks, and 89.2 innings pitched. For Virginia Tech, I think it's going to be Anthony Argelis. He started three of the last four game ones, but Drew Hackenberg started last week in game one. He got blown up. So I think we see Argelis here. He's 3-1 on the year with a 4.64 ERA and 12 starts with 57 strikeouts, 26 walks, and 54.1 innings pitched. This isn't the game to fade Wake. I'm going to maybe look to do it in game three. I expect the Deeks to win games one and two behind Lauder and Hartle. They're two of the best pitchers in the nation. But on senior day for Wake Forest, I think their focus may be elsewhere. And on the festivities going around, because they're already the one seed in the ACC tournament. They're probably already the one seed in the NCAA tournament, whereas the Hokies, they're fighting to make the ACA tournament, or they're fighting to make the ACC and NCAA tournament. I think they're desperate. I think they need to steal at least one game, probably two, to feel comfortable in the ACC field. Behind that offense with a 964 OPS, I think they have the ability to take at least one. I'm looking towards game three where they do that, though. The next game on our slate is 6 o'clock, where Pittsburgh plus 165 is at NC State minus 205 on the money line. These two teams both have 10 wins, and the winner of this series, 10 wins in the ACC, and the winner of this series will probably play in the ACC tournament, and the loser probably goes home. They start their golf season early. Pitt is just 7-12 on the road, while NC State is 23-7 at home. The Panthers are 7-6 in game ones this season, and the Wolfpack is 6-7. Jack Sokol will start for Pitt, and he's 5-4 on the year with a 7.39 ERA, 61 strikeouts, 27 walks, and 59.2 innings pitched. And opponents have a 3.24 batting average against him. It's just terrible. NC State will go with Logan Whitaker, who is 3-3 with a 5.16 ERA, 65 strikeouts, 11 walks, and 66.1 innings pitched. Pitt has the second worst team batting average with a 2.59 in the ACC. They also have the worst team ERA with a 7.04 in the ACC. I think Pac-9 dominates this weekend, and they may even sweep. But the minus 205 price on a team below 500 in conference play just isn't worth the squeeze here. So we move on to another 6 o'clock start. LSU minus 300 at Georgia plus 235. Two words, Paul Skeens. He's been dominant this year. LSU has only lost one of his starts. Skeens is 10-1 on the year with a 1.69 ERA, 152 strikeouts. It's just insane. I don't know if there's another starter over 100 yet. He's got 152 strikeouts and 79.2 innings pitched with only 14 walks. I've said it all year and way before the last two letdowns from LSU and over the weekends with Mississippi State and Auburn. I think you parlay them in game one with Skeens, and then they're just not worth it to bet money on them in games two and three. You just can't trust their bullpen, and they don't have a third starter. A really good offense can only get you so far. I think this might be a team that struggles to get out of a regional. I really do. I think they're a little bit better suited for a three-game super regional, but the regional, I think they struggle with the pitching depth. I don't know if they're going to be able to make it out of there. Next game here is also a 6 o'clock start. We have plus 105 on North Carolina. They're visiting Clemson, who's minus 135. Shout out Eric Backage. He's on the thumbnail for what was supposed to be a weekend recap and midweek podcast. But yeah, I was just under the weather and couldn't prep for a solo pod to do that. But the Tigers, they have won 6 series in a row, and they've won 14 of the last 15 games, setting themselves up to be a national top 8 seed, or at least in the conversation. North Carolina, they're 6-6 in game ones this season. Clemson, 7-6 in game ones, and they've won 4 game ones in a row behind Ethan Darden, who has a 6.14 ERA in those 4 games and a 5.44 ERA on the season. So it's not incredible. North Carolina should put up some runs as they have a 2.86 batting average and an 8.92 OPS as a squad. Max Carlson on the season has a 4-1 record and 11 starts with a 5.69 ERA, 65 strikeouts, 26 walks, and 61.2 innings pitched. He's going to start for the Tar Heels. Clemson has the third best team batting average in the ACC with a 3.06 with an 8.62 OPS. So I expect a lot of offense in this game, and I would love an over of 13.5 or lower, like set lower than 13.5, and I would take the over on that. And I lean towards my guy, Eric Backage. I'll just say this. I don't know how many times I'm going to fade these guys for the rest of the podcast this season. So I'm just a sucker for them. The next game on here, also speaking of me being a sucker for a team, just a closet Florida Gators fan, they are minus 125 on the money line at 6:30 Eastern at Kentucky minus 105. Both of these squads are on the cusp of a top 8 national seed, and both teams have been dominant at home. This season, the Cats will bat second in the series, and they're 24-4 when they do. The Gators, they're 9-6 on the road and 10-3 in game ones this season. In a weird situation, Kevin O'Sullivan will keep Brandon Sproat going on a Friday, as he's elected to pitch Hurston Waldrop on Thursday, as his start last Saturday was washed out due to rain. He only threw 10 pitches there. He had 2 strikeouts in that game. But yeah, he didn't throw nearly close to a full game there. But, you know, as I mentioned, a closet Gators fan, I've noticed that Hurston Waldrop's mechanics are just a little bit different than how he's pitched in the past. And he has an 8.01 ERA in his last 4 appearances. I don't know if that's something that he's working with or something that's bothering him, but Kentucky, they're 8-5 in game ones this season, but they've lost 4 of their last 5 series openers. They've tinkered with that game one starter in every one of those games. They'll start Travis Smith here, and he's 4-2 with a 4.81 ERA, 35 strikeouts, 22 walks, and 39.1 innings pitched this season. It's an interesting game because I think we catch a low A-State total from the books because they're not going to, I don't think they're going to pay attention to these minor rotation changes, because both teams are not starting their aces in game one. They'll elect to do that in game two on Friday on normal days rest. So I'm not going to bet Kentucky at minus 105, but I think the price, I think it should be larger. I think they should be somewhat of plus money here. So if that gets larger, closer to the game time, I would take the plus money with Kentucky, but I'm definitely looking at an over, because I think this game might come in at like a 10.5, and both these offenses are good enough to take advantage of the starting pitcher number two, like the typical Saturday starters on a Friday night line, if that makes sense. It's just one of those things where you can catch some of the books not paying fully attention to some of the lines that they're setting. So when the totals come out, usually Caesars posts the totals more consistently. DraftKings has stopped posting totals, at least for the regular season, but Caesars, MGM, and BetRivers/Barstool is where you're going to find them. The over for Florida and Kentucky is what I'd be eyeing there. So we move on to 7 o'clock Eastern. TCU minus 175 takes on Kansas State plus 140 in Manhattan, the Little Apple. I mentioned how we could catch the books mispricing a total last game, but I think the money line on this game is mispriced. Kansas State 18-6 at home. TCU is 6-8 on the road and just 5-8 in game ones of the series, whereas the Wildcats are 10-3 behind their ace, Owen Barema, who's 7-1 with a 4.42 ERA, 84 strikeouts, 28 walks, and 75.1 innings pitched. K-State has won 5 game ones in a row, and Barema has a 3.60 ERA in those four, in his last 4 starts. TCU will start Luis Rodriguez, who has only started 4 games all year. He has a 3.09 ERA in those 4 starts, but K-State has been so good on ace days. Like I said, they had that 10-3 record, and they have a really good home record as well. I love the value on K-State plus 140 on the money line. Another 7 o'clock game here. Tennessee minus 110 visits South Carolina minus 120 on the money line. The headline of the series is that the Vols, they're pushing to be a regional host, whereas South Carolina is desperately trying not to slip out of the top 8 national seeds. Tennessee is a pitiful 2-11 on the road, and South Carolina is 25-5 at home. But the Gamecocks, they've lost 7 of the last 8 games. They are 9-4 on ace days, but they've lost 3 game ones in a row. Tennessee, 8-5 on ace days, and they've won 4 game ones in a row. So two teams that are going totally different directions in some of the trends, but Tennessee just doesn't win on the road. They just don't. They're 2-11 on the year. But Andrew Lindsay, during those that stretch of 4 game ones, 1 in a row, since he's been put into that top spot in the starting rotation, game one starter, he lost the game at Arkansas, but the next 4 games, he's had a 3.52 ERA, and he's had a 2.98 ERA on the season with 49 strikeouts, 16 walks, and 48.1 innings pitched. Eli Jones will start his 5th game of the season for the Gamecocks, and he's given up 1 run in each of his last 2 starts, but they've come against the Citadel. Wait, he's given up 1 run in each of his last 2 starts. But he's made 4 starts this season against the Citadel, Winthrop, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. He's given up 1 run to the Dogs and the Hogs. They were impressive starts, but he only threw 4 and 5 innings. We can add Chris Veach to the injury report for the Gamecocks bullpen. The list just continues for South Carolina with the injuries. So I question the bullpen behind Jones. So give me Tennessee at minus 110 to pick up their 3rd road win of the season. I feel pretty good about that one, even though I've been fading Tennessee for most of the middle of the year, mainly on the road. But not a bad spot for them here. Also at 7 o'clock, Florida State plus 130 on the money line visits Louisville minus 160. Real quick on this game, the Cards basically need a sweep to get into the ACC tournament, but I ain't betting them at this price. That's just crazy talk, minus 160 on a team that only has 9 wins in the conference. Same with UConn at minus 195, which is the next game on the slate. They're on the road. There's no way I'm betting them at Charles Schwab Field after struggling against Butler last week. I would even say a pizza bet on Creighton plus 160 with Ryan Windham, who has a 5-3 record with a 3.76 ERA compared to UConn's Andrew Sears with a 6.62. He's 2-0 in 12 starts this year, but I would look at Creighton plus 160 is not a bad look at all. Before we get into some other games on the day, let me tell you about Shady Rays. We're teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays has you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays has durable frames and extremely clear optics for your outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by their lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. And if you don't love them, exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for our international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered as well with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and United Kingdom. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Then take your receipt to SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Shady for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest. Also, just a random plug for the SGPN store. I'm wearing a College Baseball Experience shirt. We just have a brand new line that launched in a bunch of different colors for your campus or college colors. So go over there, look at it. Pretty cheap prices, polyester shirts. Gotta love it. So rep the brand out in the public, whether you're going to a game or just watching it at home.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Onwards and upwards. 7 o'clock. Also, we have Duke -105 on the money line at Miami, Florida -125. Both the Blue Devils and the Hurricanes are on the fringe of a top 16 seed in the NCAA tournament, and I would imagine that the loser of this series can kiss that hosting hopes goodbye. Duke is 9-5 on the road, and Miami is 26-4 at home with a 9-4 record on ace days, winning 5 game ones in a row. Duke is 7-5 on ace day, and they will run out Alex Gow in game one. He's 3-3 on the year with a 4.80 ERA, 46 strikeouts, 23 walks, and 45 innings pitched. Greg Zeal will start for the Canes, and he's 7-4 with a 4.78 ERA, 83 strikeouts, 18 walks, and 75.1 innings pitched. I really like Miami here in game one, and I just get the feeling that after a series loss to Georgia Tech, Duke's going to have they might have peaked a little bit too early. So I like Miami, Florida, -125 on the money line here in game one against the Blue Devils. Also at 7 o'clock, the series of the weekend, Arkansas -110 at Vanderbilt -120. Vanderbilt, they just got swept by Florida and they lost control of their own destiny in the SEC. Whereas Arkansas, they have their sights set on an outright title, as they're just a game. They're a game and a half up on LSU in the SEC West. They're also one game up on Florida and two up on Vandy. This is a huge series, and the Hogs pitching staff is rolling. Vandy's is scuffling. Arkansas is 6-7 on the road this year, whereas Vandy is 23-5 at home. Arkansas is 11-2 on ace day. Vanderbilt just 7-6. Patrick Riley will start again this week. He gets the ball in game one for Vanderbilt against the Hogs after getting rocked for 8 runs in 4 innings against Florida. Patrick Riley for Vanderbilt is 3-2 with a 6.43 ERA on the season. Hagen Smith once again will start game one, and he's not going to be the closer this weekend, obviously. So starting game one, Smith has a 3.50 ERA in his 4 SEC starts so far this season. Everything is pointing me to the Hogs here, but I'm going to hold off. They're below 500 on the road. Vanderbilt dominant at home, 23-5. -110 on Arkansas seems reasonable. And if you're a Hogs fan, I'd go ahead and bet that. But I have plenty of options here on this Thursday, fine Thursday. So I'm going to pump the brakes on Arkansas here. The next game, also 7 o'clock start, Missouri +115 at Auburn -145. This game was a tricky one for me to handicap. Both teams are coming in off of sweeps, but they're starting pitchers with projected ERAs. Their projected pitchers for this game have ERAs above 5. We'll get to that in a second. Mizzou is 7-12 on the road. Auburn 29-1. So 20 wins, 9 losses, 1 tie. I know that can sound like 29-1, but they're 20-9-1 and 10-3 on ace day, whereas Missouri is 5-8 in game ones. Chase also will make his 6th start of the season for Auburn with a 7.24 ERA on the season, 26 walks and 32.1 innings pitched. So the control is a little bit of a mystery for him. Chandler Murphy will start game one for Mizzou, and he has an 8.34 ERA in his last 6 appearances. Obviously, I would love an over in this game. If we get one, I'll lean towards the Tigers. I mean, a Tigers team's bound to win, right? But I think the Auburn Tiger, they'll be saying War DM Eagle after this game. Also, 7 o'clock start, Texas A&M minus 125 on the money line at Mississippi State minus 105. Texas A&M is already in the SEC tournament, but they are on the NCAA tournament bubble. Mississippi State is basically dead, but with a sliver of hope. They need a sweep and some help. After their series win at LSU, they need all of that. They need a sweep and some help after their series win against LSU to get into the SEC tournament. The Aggies, they're 6-8 on the road. The Bulldogs, they're only 15-12 at home, which in the grand scheme of things isn't that great. A&M, 7-6 on ace day. MSU, 3-10 in game ones this season. The Dogs, they've struggled to maintain a game one starter all year, and they're starting with Colby Holcomb in game one here. He has a 7.71 ERA and 17 appearances this year. This is only going to be his 3rd start all year. So I'm going to end up picking Texas A&M behind Nathan Detmer, but he's only 1-3 on the year with 13 starts, a 6.32 ERA. So I'm just staying away from this game with my money. Maybe just an over, but that's for that one. 7 o'clock, Louisiana, plus 125 on the money line at Southern Miss, minus 155. This is another spot where I think the books may have just mispriced this on the opening line, and we have to take advantage of it. Jackson Neza, I believe I'm saying that right. It's Neza, N-E-Z-U-H. He's the starter for Louisiana. He has a 6.26 ERA in his last 5 starts, a 6.81 ERA on the year with an 8-4 record. It's an all right line, but when he's facing Tanner Hall, it's just, I don't think it's going to do against one of the best pitchers in the nation. Hall has a 2.05 ERA in his last 3 starts. He's 10-3 on the season with a 2.70 ERA, 88 strikeouts, 29 walks, and 80 innings pitched. The Ragin' Cajuns are 11-8 on the road and 7-5 on ace day, whereas Southern Miss is 10-3 on Tanner Hall day. It's rare that we see a price that's not minus 200 or above on a Tanner Hall start, but the Golden Eagles game one, they have a 24-4 home record in Scott Barry's final series at home because he's retiring this season. That's their head coach. I think you gotta get this one while you can. Minus 155 on the money line for the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. Also a 7 o'clock start. UTSA and Louisiana Tech, they didn't list pitchers on their game write-ups. And even if they did, and I did the work to handicap this game, the Roadrunners, they were just swept at home by DBU. They could come out pissed off, but they could also lay down because they no longer are in the running for an NCAA tournament at large bid. So they just have to win the Conference USA tournament. But you know, UTSA is listed at minus 135. It's not terrible, but I want to see them after one game after that Dallas Baptist series. So speaking of Dallas Baptist, the next game that we have is them at home with Ryan Johnson on the bump. He's minus 315 against Western Kentucky. The Hilltoppers are 8-5 on ace day, whereas DBU is 11-2 in game ones this season. I wouldn't argue parlaying the Patriots here, but I just think they're in cruise control this season. They may drop one of these games on the weekend to a surging Western Kentucky team. I wrote that prior to putting together a parlay. Just a spoiler alert, I do have DBU in the podcast parlay at the end of the show when I'm going to announce my entire betting card. 7:30 start time, West Virginia minus 110 on the money line at Texas minus 120. The Mountaineers just need a single win to clinch a Big 12 title, but this weekend they'll come with a little bit of turmoil as Ben Hampton, their typical game one starter, is not slated to start this weekend, which leaves us questioning, hey, is there an injury here? West Virginia is a whopping 19-7 on the road this season, and Texas, they're 25-8 at home. Throw Dub V's game one record pitching wise out of the picture here. However, they are 10-3 in game ones, hitting against other teams' aces as well, with the third best batting average in the Big 12, a 304 with the 933 team OPS. Texas, they're 8-5 on ace days and have lost three of the last four game ones. Lucas Gordon has been phenomenal this season, 5-1 on the year with a 271 ERA, 77 strikeouts, 27 walks, and 76.1 innings pitched. But in that four-start span, he's been vulnerable with a 440 ERA. Carson Etheridge will make his fifth start of the year for West Virginia. In his last start, he gave up 5 runs and 4.1 to Pitt. So this seems like a very nice Texas spot. You're getting Lucas Gordon, one of the better pitchers in the conference, at minus 120. Give me the Longhorns here. Next game at 7:30 as well. Oklahoma State minus 155 on the money line at Oklahoma plus 125. Bedlam takes place in the last week of the regular season, featuring the Cowboys two games behind the Big 12 regular season title chase. And Oklahoma is just trying to play spoiler while also securing their NCAA tournament spot. The Pokes are 9-6 on the road. The Sooners, they're only 14-10 at home, 5-8 in the first game of the series this season. Oklahoma State's 9-4 on ace days. They haven't announced their Thursday starter, but I assume that it's going to be Jaren Watts Brown. He'll get the ball with a 5-3 record, a 4.52 ERA, 99 strikeouts, 38 walks in 67.2 innings pitched this season, but he hasn't been as good lately, with a 7.53 ERA in his last six starts, giving up 3 runs, 2 runs to Michigan and ETSU, respectively, in 5-inning starts. Braxton Dodit will start for OU here. He's 4-4 on the year with a 4.91 ERA, 45 strikeouts, 48 walks. He has more walks than strikeouts, folks. That is something to behold in 66 innings pitched. The Pokes, they have the second best batting average in the Big 12 with a 310 and a 975 team OPS. The Sooners rank sixth in average with a 286 and an 839 OPS. I'll take Oklahoma State. I think they'll be able to take advantage of an average pitcher, but I'm not going to bet it at minus 155. Also a 7:30 start time, Texas Tech minus 250. They host Kansas plus 200. I'm going to stay away from this game, but if you're going to do anything, I'd actually entertain a Kansas moneyline bet here. I think both starting pitchers are pretty equal, and Kansas has been feisty on the first game of the weekend. 8:30, we move to the Pac-12. Oregon minus 215 travels to Utah plus 175 on the money line, who's on the verge of missing the Pac-12 tournament, basically needing a sweep and also help to get into that tournament. I would wait and see how this series plays out. If Utah mails it in, and they're if they mail it in, I'd maybe look to play Oregon throughout game two and game three. But if they're fighting in game one, they put up a fight in game one. Neither team's games write-ups have listed starting pitchers for the series, so I just have to pass here. But if Utah is fighting, they could be interesting, sitting at plus 175 or plus 200 dogs throughout the series. Moving on to a 10 o'clock start time in the Pac-12, Stanford minus 185 on the money line at Washington State plus 150. This is frustrating, because neither team announced a starting pitcher for Thursday. Stanford's going to throw Quinn Matthews on Friday, according to their game preview. So if that's the case, this game's mispriced just slightly, not by a ton, but they leave me to beg writers to ask questions to their coaches for the projected rotations so that they can put them in these write-ups and we can handicap them. But yeah, I just have to pass for now. Stanford seems like, you know, they're priced a little bit too high if Quinn Matthews isn't on the mound, because he's really the only guy that can keep them in the game pitching wise. Otherwise, their offense has to play blitzkrieg and score 8 or 10 runs to win a game for the trees. Another 10 o'clock start on the West Coast, USC minus 105 on the money line at Arizona minus 125. The Wildcats, they're fighting for Pac-12 seeding here, and USC, they're trying not to fall out of the NCAA tournament field. The Trojans, they're lowly 6-13-1 on the road this season. Arizona, they're 21-7 at home. USC is 8-5 on ace days. Zona just 5-1 in game ones. USC will start Blake Soderstrom, who's 4-2 with 40 strikeouts. He's 4-2 on the year with a 2.92 ERA, 66 strikeouts, 24 walks, and 61.2 innings pitched. He's been stellar since moving to the SP1 spot in the weekend series with a 1.32 ERA in his last five starts. So Blake Soderstrom, really good so far this year. Cameron Walty, he'll make his seventh start of the season for Arizona. He has a 4.54 ERA, 40 strikeouts, 8 walks, and 39.2 innings pitched. Walty faltered in his last start, but it was against Stanford, so they're the best offense in the West. But he was doing great before that, so that makes me think that this is most likely like an underplay. But I would have been on USC if that trend for Walty was worse in his recent performances, but it's not. So the minus 105 just isn't juicy enough with Soderstrom on the mound for the USC. But if you're out there hating on Arizona, USC is not terrible at minus 105. Shout out Lane Elliott. He goes, damn, I'm late. What's up, Noah? Yeah, dude, I'm late. I'm up at 6:38 a.m. Handicapped this on last night. 28 games for college baseball. Has postseason in the blood. Sorry. I also just under the weather all week, so wasn't able to do a show earlier out in the week. Hammering out all 28 games, fully handicapped for Thursday's slate of college baseball. At 10 o'clock, UCLA is minus 115 on the money line at Arizona State, also minus 115. Just like USC, Arizona State, a West Coast baseball blue blood, is fighting to stay on the good side of the NCAA tournament bubble, and UCLA is in no man's land. They're lost, and they've lost seven of the last nine games. They're 7-12 on the road. Arizona State is 19-9-1 at home this season. The Sun Devils this season hasn't really set a game one starter consistently, but UCLA's SP1, Jake Brooks, is nowhere to be found in this weekend's projected rotation. Leaves us also questioning whether there's an injury there. Kelly Austin will start for UCLA. He's 4-4 on the season with a 3.04 ERA, 83 strikeouts, 24 walks, and 71 innings pitched. Austin has a 6.09 ERA in his last two starts against Oregon State and Cal. Oregon State's offense has been getting better, but Cal's pretty below average. So his recent form hasn't been as good lately, and neither has Arizona State's Timmy Manning, who will start Thursday night. He's 1-4 on the season with a 7.92 ERA, 60 strikeouts, 20 walks, and 44.1 innings pitched. He's a 9.61 ERA in his last three starts. So I'd typically be on all over and over in this matchup, but UCLA's offense, it's so bad. It's the second worst offense in the Pac-12. They also have a 7.97 OPS, so that's just poor. So I'd be leaning towards Arizona State minus 115 on the money line in this game here. We have one game left on the slate. We've covered 27 college baseball games here this early Thursday morning. It is 6:40 a.m. local time for me. 14 hours? No, 16 hours after I'm recording this at 10:05 Eastern. Cal plus 120 on the money line takes on Washington minus 150. In Seattle, Washington is pretty much set in stone as an NCAA tournament team with no chance at the Pac-12 title. So what are they truly playing for here? Cal, they're 10-12 on the road. Washington is 16-6 at home. The Golden Bears, they're 4-9 in game ones, and they are looking to make the Pac-12 tournament, or trying not to be left out of the Pac-12 tournament. They just need one game to secure that spot. The Huskies, they're 8-5 on ace day so far this year as well. Starting for Cal is Christian Becerra. He has a 7.61 ERA in his last four starts this season, and his season numbers are not that much better. He's 2-4 on the year with a 5.96 ERA, 50 strikeouts, 15 walks, and 51.1 innings pitched. Stu Flesland III will start for UW, and he has a 4.60 ERA on the year with a 5-2 record, 70 strikeouts, 17 walks, in 73.1 innings pitched. So my pick for this game is Washington on the money line. Now getting into the part where everybody has been waiting for, the betting card. We're going to be doing this to review every podcast throughout the postseason, just to, you know, have fun and keep track of how we're doing. Last year I had some crazy streak on the first 19 podcasts of the postseason. 17 of them were profitable. The easy way that I do it, because I hate tracking bets in general, every bet that I play publicly on Twitter, I do it to win one unit. So, like I'll explain going through this betting card, each of these bets just to win one unit. So my first bet of the day is -105 Notre Dame on the money line at Boston College. That's 1.1 units to win one unit and some change. Next one, +140 on Kansas State money line versus TCU. This is the one that I thought was mispriced in general to start off the day. My favorite mispriced line, I guess. That's 0.7 units to win a full unit. -110 Tennessee on the money line at South Carolina. That's 1.1 to win one unit. -125 Miami, Florida against Duke. That's 1.3 to win one and some change. -155 Southern Miss money line against Louisiana. This is another one that I thought was mispriced, but I think it's going to raise. I think it's going to get a little bit higher here. I don't think it's going to be like a parlay piece that I'd recommend, because Louisiana can be feisty, but it's Tanner Hall on a Friday. Give me them as a single, 1.6 to win one and some change. And then my last single bet of the day is Texas on the money line -120 against West Virginia. That's 1.2 units to win one unit. And then we finish with a podcast parlay. This podcast, it's a three legger. Usually I stick to like twos that can get me into plus money, but I liked Coastal Carolina hosting Marshall the most. My second favorite parlay piece was LSU at Georgia. That one came out to like -160. I'm not going to give out a -160 money line on the show. So give me Dallas Baptist hosting Western Kentucky. That all comes out to a +114. So put a unit or put 0.9 of a unit to win one unit, whatever you want to do. That is the podcast parlay for this show, the last regular season show of the season. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to get really fun here coming up throughout the rest of the year. Sam T in the chat, he goes, "You got another Michigander in here. Let's make some money." Yeah, man. Done it most of the season. College baseball is fun because it's a really niche market. And you can catch some of the bookmakers falling asleep on some of the updates. Injuries aren't reported, so if you're on top of it, it can be fun, and we can make a lot of money. So I'm excited because we're going to be doing daily podcasts here throughout the postseason. You can follow me on Twitter at 77NB. I'll be posting all of my picks on Twitter prior to game times. Now that we're doing daily podcasts, we want people to listen to the show, and I'll put them out like 10 to 15 minutes before the first game starts. That's how I'll do it from the future. But I mean, every day I've been putting them out on Twitter, labeling the units, posting results at the end of the night. So yes, 77 on NB on Twitter. You can follow the show, The College Experience, at TCE on SGPN on Twitter. Like, leave a rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Jordan Thackeray saying, "Hell yeah, appreciate the knowledge," in the YouTube chat. Love it, guys. 6:46 a.m. I'm just finishing up, and I'm going to go to bed, but I assume a lot of you guys are waking up and going to work. But I appreciate the love. We here at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network just go all in for it. I live for this stuff, so I don't really care. I'm just conditioning myself for the rest of the postseason. The first time that I've done this, but you know, last season I was up to like 8 a.m. posting the pod and then going to sleep, waking up like 20 minutes before the first game started at 3 p.m. So yeah, it's fun times. I love this shit. And I'm glad that you guys listen, and like to listen to me, ramble on about college baseball. So, yeah, that's the card. My favorite play of the day, like my favorite lock, I should say, is let's do Miami, Florida against Duke. The dog is +140 Kansas State money line against TCU. Yeah, I already plugged most of everything that I need to plug. trying to remember. I always forget. I suck at ending podcasts, but thanks for tuning in. You've been experiencing the better side of college baseball with the College Baseball Experience. With that, I bid you adieu. Adios, amigos.